This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
Your brain needs support, and new Ollie Brainy Chews are a delightful way to take care of your cognitive health. Made with scientifically backed ingredients like Thai ginger, L-theanine, and caffeine, Brainy Chews support healthy brain function and help you find your focus, stay chill, or get energized. Be kind to your mind and get these nootropic chews at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to American Muslim Project. I hope everyone had a great Thanksgiving holiday. My family and I stayed in the Portland, Oregon area. We actually celebrated our first Thanksgiving with our daughter, Isha, who is now about 9 months old. It was definitely a special time for us. Over the past couple weeks, I've been thinking a lot about the media landscape when it comes to representation, probably more than usual given what's happening in the world. Regular listeners to the show know that here in the States, Muslim characters in TV and movies are hard to come by. Our goal here at Rafaleon, the company that creates and produces this podcast, is to create that content that I didn't have growing up, content that better represents Muslims in the media, so that my daughter, as she grows up, will be able to see people like her on the big screen or on TV or on the radio. One of the projects that we are working on here at Rafaleon is a feature-length movie about Ramadan and Eid. It's called Ramadan America, and it's comprised of 5 short films. It's set to release in March of next year during Ramadan. As part of that project, we had an open call for scripts from the Muslim community, and we were lucky enough to have about 50 submissions. And from those, we selected 15 to be shortlisted, and then 5 of them as actual winners that we went on to produce in real life. Most of the writers are early in their career. For some, it will be the first time something that they wrote will be produced. On today's show, we talked to 3 of those writers that won. They will share their experiences in screenwriting and offer tips and tricks, especially, you know, I think some of you that are interested in screenwriting or kind of behind the scenes, you know, this will help you hone your skills or just get a better understanding about how the sausage is made, for lack of a better phrase. Hopefully it'll inspire you to maybe write a script for our competition, which we plan to hold again in the new year. And just to note, this conversation was recorded in September of 2023, just a couple months ago via Zoom as part of Rafaleon's event series. Hope you enjoy the conversation. We'll have that right after the break.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
Welcome, everybody. Thanks for joining this webinar, class, discussion, whatever you want to call it. We're going to talk a lot about Muslim screenplay writers and process and all that kind of fun stuff. So with that, maybe I'll just have first really quick introductions from our 3 panelists. So Farouk, Halima, and Sarwath, maybe give us a 30-second spiel on your background and your recent script that won the award. So maybe let's start with Farouk.
Assalamu, everybody. I'm Farouk. I'm based in LA. I'm primarily an editor for television. I went to USC for grad film school and have worked in both documentary editing and scripted TV editing. I for this competition, I also attempt to write every now and then, and along with a classmate from USC, who's still my writing partner, we made a piece called Nani's Biryani. It's sort of It's about a young boy who trying to impress his friends on TikTok and Instagram or one of those type of platforms. And for Eid, he wants to remix his mom's biryani recipe. And I think, like you might have seen, there's sort of like food hacks, weird remixes that kids are doing just for attention. Anyway, he gets it all wrong. And but by the end, he learns that the importance of tradition and respecting family family recipes, there's a reason for it. So yeah, that's my short pitch on it.
And you're based in LA, is that right?
That's correct, yes.
Awesome. Halima, you want to give us a little one-on-one?
Sure. My name is Halima Iman. I am from Texas. That's where I grew up when I went to college and grad school. And I lived in LA. I lived in Atlanta, mostly pursuing acting, but writing, producing. And now I'm back in Texas. I came back in 2020 during the pandemic. So my story is called The Eid Gifts. And simply, it's about a man who's kind of, I guess, a lax Muslim, you might say. And he's not really in the Ramadan or Eid spirit, but he's trying to fake the funk for his family. He has a wife and a daughter. So it has a twist at the end, and I won't give it away. So yeah, that's pretty much what it's about. But I've written a lot of stories, short films, feature films, my whole life. So
I would love to hear your background and your one-on-one as well.
Hi, everyone. I'm Sarwath. I'm from New York City. So I think I'm better than everyone here. I'm an oncology nurse. I went to NYU. I have done playwriting, written two research papers, and I always loved film. So this is the first time I've ever written a short film. I'm very honored for it to be selected. And I wrote it about a woman who has epilepsy and is considering divorce on Eid. And I have epilepsy myself. So this was like kind of the first time I ever got to portray what it's like to be South Asian and disabled in a short film. And I'm really excited for you guys to see it.
Amazing. Yeah, I think let me give some context about, so Rafaeli, on, you know, we really wanted to do something in the Eid Ramadan realm. And we came up with this idea of let's hold an open script writing competition for anybody to apply. We ended up getting 50 applicants, and then we selected the top about 15 scripts to put them through a summer workshop. And then from there, we've picked this top 5 scripts to actually produce into this feature length anthology film that will be released in March of this year. So we're actually in pre-production for these 3 stories and 2 other ones. And yeah, our goal was really, as you can tell from these descriptions, to really showcase the diversity of the American Muslim experience. And, you know, I hope that you could get a little bit of flavor from how what the 3 writers talked about their individual scripts. My question, and open this up to anybody, is how did you get involved with writing? Like, what is it about writing that excites you, and specifically screenwriting and short films? I mean, I'll go to Sarwath first, if you want to answer.
Yeah. I mean, for as long as I've known, I've always just loved to write, like simply just itself. I think it's partially because I grew up in Staten Island, or a white neighborhood, and not really anyone to express myself to. So my journal ended up becoming my best friend. And I just found that, you know, the beauty of writing is there's so many ways to express yourself. So I've written 2 research papers. I love science, so I express myself in that sense. Sometimes I write music because I need to express a lot of feelings in a short amount of time. And then sometimes it's, you know, things like short films. So writing is beautiful. And the beauty, the best part of it is anyone can pick up a pen. So, you know, write, people.
Yeah. Totally. Halima?
So similarly, I would say that I've been writing from a very young age, short stories. I actually, when I was 11, I wrote a children's book. I remember that I had like yellow construction paper, and, you know, it's called Don't Steal Cookies from the Cookie Jar. always a rule follower. But as far as more creative writing screenplays, probably started around 2006. And that was just because I've always wanted to be a performer. I really love television and film. And growing up, I watched a lot of TV, and I wanted to always be a part of the story. And I didn't see people like me reflected on TV. in movies that I watched. And so I kind of just wrote myself into stories. So.
That's amazing. Yeah, I think that's a common feeling that we all have, is that we haven't seen each other, you know, ourselves on the screen, though that is changing. And this is, you know, this project is part of that. So we can, you know, see more representation on the screen. Farouk, you're in the industry, you know, but have you always been a writer as well?
No, I've always had an interest in different parts of filmmaking, and done different parts of the craft, whether it was, for a while I was sort of more of a camera operator. I've done location sound recording, sound design, now kind of settled into editing. But anyhow, like the supporting crafts, like I feel like I've been able to get a hang of them. But the writing is the thing that continues to sort of challenging me. And there's like so many opportunities, and you continue to grow and learn in writing. So, you know, I know there's lots of books written on the craft of writing. So I don't know, it's like a mystery, and not a mystery. It's possible to write a good script. But in terms of like the depth and like continuing to learn the ways to make an effective story work, it's really interesting to me. So, but I think I learn a lot from editing about writing. I kind of see how what was shot, how we sort of, you know, make adjustments and make the final rewrite in the edit. So, yeah. And then, as mentioned, for lack of a better word, I just think it's really cool to see this wave of representation that's happening, and to see a show like We Are Lady Parts, or be able to watch the new season of Rami. I think it's just great to be part of that. And we're the fact that we're able to take on new stories and go deeper into, or even more personal into, and more specific into the Muslim American experience. I think that's great.
Yeah. Yeah. Double click on that for sure. So, you know, we only gave people about a month notice to write their scripts for this competition. Was this an idea that you had been percolating on for a while, or did it just come to you and you wrote it in a week? Like, there were some writers that we talked to that, like, one writer wrote two of them over the course of the month and submitted them both. You know, like, what was your writing process when you first heard about this competition? And I'll open up to anybody that wants to start.
Thoughts. I can answer that. So I got the email saying that you guys were seeking Muslim writers, and that was specifically about Ramadan and Eid. And I immediately wrote back and was like, I don't have anything with that thing, but I can do that. So I wrote it in about 2 weeks. I do have a lot of, like I said, films that I've written and stories, but not specifically on those topics. So for me, I just started thinking, like, I wanted to write a rom-com, because I was like, I'd like to see a Muslim rom-com. But what I do when I write is I think of, like, the beginning and the end, and then I kind of play out the entire, like, I talk to myself, I do the dialogue out loud, all kinds of things. It's not a story about a guy and a girl meeting in a gym, and it was Ramadan, so we couldn't drink water. And so I kept going, and then I couldn't think of an ending. And so before I even start typing, I try to have the complete story in my mind. So then I stopped with that one. And I was like, okay, let me not just focus on what I want to see. Let me just try to write a story that I think is good. And then this idea came to me, and I knew how I wanted it to begin, how I wanted it to end. But for me, when I'm writing, I kind of just let the story take over. I let the characters say what they're going to say and do what they're going to do. And I get kind of detached, because I feel like it just kind of comes through me. And I never, like, force myself, oh, I'm going to write 2 hours today. Like, for an entire week, I didn't even write. Like, it was 2 weeks. I thought of something for 2 days. And then for 5 days, I was like, I don't know where to go, and I'm not going to force it. And then, like, 6 or 7 days later, I was like, I got it. And then when I do that, it just comes out very easily. So,
wow, that's great. Do you think that's part, I'm going to just follow, just do you think part of that is because of your comfort with the story structure, or like the process of writing? Or, you know, I think that for me, you know, I've always wanted to write, and I've gone through bouts of writing, but I think there's that little, that like that guy in the back of my head that's like, you're not a writer, like you don't know what you're doing, type of thing. I don't know, any thoughts on that?
Well, I think one of the strengths that I've had, because of what the feedback I've gotten from people, is when I did start writing, I took acting classes, and that's been primarily, like, I want to be an actor, and I do acting, but when I'm writing, I always think of it from
the characters, the actors, and I feel like that makes my dialogue very realistic. And also, I can visualize it very well because I have a very overactive imagination. So I like have a million stories in my head right now that I'm like, okay. So having to narrow it down to writing one thing is actually difficult because I have so many stories going on.
Totally. Yeah. So Earth, what was your process like for this competition?
Well, I wrote this in 4 hours with no expectation of anything.
Whoa. And wait, we're talking, I think it was your first draft was like 12 or 15 pages, right?
Yeah. Okay. So since I'm an oncology nurse, not to sound depressing, but I do see a lot of death. It's a very emotionally demanding job. And so I have a very like limited amount of energy to do things. And I will never write something unless I'm like so passionate about it. I saw this popped up on my social media page and I saw it. And I was thinking about a recent party that I had gone to where it was my aunt's party. I'm very comfortable with my family, but my aunt, she held an Eid party and it was just her friends. And so I sit there and one of them is like talking about, you know, their son getting married and I'm 27 and I was like, not really interested in that. And she just like came at me at a level of like, you know, saying you're not Muslim if you don't get married, like all these things, right? Which was crazy to me. But then I went back to my family for our Eid party and I said this and everyone was like, that's crazy. And I'm talking my aunts and uncles are like 60, 70, you know, like we're not like that. So then it occurred to me that like other people have to deal with this. Like I see all the auntie like memes and everything, but I just never experienced that. And so, you know, when I write about anything, it comes from a place of like, if people aren't saying this, then like it needs to be said. And if I'm the only person that can say it, then I will say it, you know? And so that's why I saw it and I was like, time to let all those emotions out. And I wrote it just like that. It came out and then here we are.
That's amazing. Wow. I wish I could do something like that in 4 hours. I feel like it takes me 4 hours just to sit down on my computer to like pull up Final Draft.
But to be fair, like when I can't come up with something, like if you said right now, write this thing, I'd probably be like this, go on Instagram, go on Twitter. Like I have to feel the passion and then I'm...
You need an auntie to yell at you for some reason in order to
pretty much. Like it,
yeah.
We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, more with our conversations with winning Muslim screenwriters. This is American Muslim Project.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. May is Mental Health Awareness Month, and Talkspace, the leading virtual therapy provider, is encouraging people to talk it out in therapy. By talking or texting with a supportive, licensed therapist at Talkspace, you'll gain insights, discover truths, and experience breakthroughs that will improve how you live and how you feel. With Talkspace, just answer a few questions online and you'll be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, whenever you feel most at ease. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members only pay a $25 copay or less. No insurance? No problem. If you want to make progress toward a mentally healthier place, Talkspace is here for you. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Welcome back to American Muslim Project. We're going to continue my conversation with some winning Muslim screenwriters. Here we go.
Farouk, you actually had a writing partner who was non-Muslim. Tell me about that process and how you guys came up with the idea and worked together.
So my writing partner, we met at USC and we've just been working together for a while and we're in touch on text message and we're always sending each other either memes or funny things. And I was part of the ISF network when I saw that this partnership was happening with Raphaelion. So me and him had been talking about trying to write something, but we had no spark. But he's a father now. He's got two kids in the Bay Area. And we had been sort of commenting on, I think between us that not that kids become jerks online, but that you know, what once of a certain age, you know, teens like, on TikTok, they're doing pranks and doing some stuff publicly that's a little bit mean and mean-spirited, and they'll do it for attention. And the kind of like gamification social media posting? Like, I was reading a little bit about how teens maybe want to have like be the main player in this sort of game of their life, and they don't want to be like an NPC or non-playable character. So how can they set themselves apart? Anyhow, so between me and him, we were like brainstorming, and I just like watching people make bizarre food things online, and he's kind of worried about his kids growing up to be upstanding young people. So anyway, to get together, we just came up with this idea, and I think it was interesting because maybe like in our story, the young boy or the young teen kid, he's I feel like during Ramadan, you know, there's like a sense of the collective, maybe like a sense of like humility. Like you don't try to like swing for big, I don't know, social media stunts. But there's like a perfect storm of this kid trying to stand out during Eid. And but our writing process, I like having a writing partner for me personally, because if not, I kind of stare at a blank screen. But me and him will usually get on a conference call and just start spitballing, like, what if this happens in the beginning? What if by the middle of the story, this is what happens? And what's his major challenge? And I don't know, we'll just kind of spitball the major structure points. And then maybe we kind of split it up where I go away. We'll usually share like a final draft or writer duet program file between us. And maybe he'll write some pages, and then I'll write some pages on top of those pages. But we're pretty good about not being precious about changes, like if he does something and I have an idea. So, but that's just a relationship we built over the years where we're like, we don't dismiss each other's ideas. We're just kind of like, oh, that's cool. Like run with it, you know? And I was impressed that, you know, for what he did not know about Muslim culture, he was like doing the research, coming back to me. And he was like, actually, you know, this is how the biryani recipe should be. And I was like, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, that's funny. Yeah, that's great. I mean, that's exactly, you know, what we need. That's awesome. So part of this process, we put the, as I mentioned, the winning scripts, the semifinals, through about 6 weeks of workshopping. And so can you guys talk about that workshop process and what you learned about either yourself or your script, or how that changed from the beginning to the end?
I thought it was amazing to be in a room full of creatives who, like, you know, are also Muslim. I'm never in a room with people who are Muslim, to be quite honest. So this was really refreshing, and then a safe space, an open space to talk about like the social issues and like the, you know, how we all feel being Muslim. And then especially with, you know, the discussion on like what it's like to be a Muslim in the entertainment industry and all those issues and everything. It was really nice to be in a shared community where we could all talk about the things that we were experiencing, the challenges, and then being able to learn about, you know, the different aspects of making the short film and just film in general through Abdullah, who is working on Desi Boys. Like, that was amazing. You know, Genevieve, we had a writer who came in, and I mean, an editor came in and, like, you know, looked at all of our work and helped us develop our writing even further through our dialogue. That was extremely constructive. So it felt like a really nice, felt like a workshop, but like a intimate workshop and a comfortable one. And I feel like we kind of became friends a little bit. So not enough time, but like, I feel like I could get coffee with you guys.
The way you said coffee was so East Coast.
Listen, I knew somebody was going to say it the second I came out of my mouth. Okay? I was raised by the Italians.
I'll jump in.
Okay.
Yeah, I was just going to bounce off what you were saying. Same. Because I feel like, you know, we kind of write these stories, not in a vacuum, but we kind of write them and we have our ideas. And then, but it's not until we like reflect them off other peers and collaborators that we start to see, blind spots or things we might have missed in the storytelling or the cultural sensitivities. And I think we all maybe, like, honestly, maybe we'll have critiques also when we're watching programs and the popular representation that's out there. I mean, I'm not saying there's issues with them, but like Miss Marvel or, you know, Rami or whatever. I think we all reflect against those and we're like, oh, well, I don't really see eye to eye with that. And that doesn't reflect me. But I think in the same way, these little kind of creative pods that we were able to be part of in the workshop, it was nice to be not accountable, but have a sounding board and get a variety of different voices reflecting on our scripts. And it gave me a lot to kind of fill in and make sure I am, it's still my story, or it's mine and Jeff's story, but it's like our story, you know, being as responsible to representation as possible. So I thought that was great. And the story consultant who came in and did a workshop with us, and looked at our scripts one-on-one. I thought that was really helpful too. Genevieve has a real eye, and like kind of a brilliant eye for how within a 10 to 15 minute short film, you can have like a lot of structure, a lot of nuance, a lot of detail. And that was great. That really made me and Jeff go back and rethink a lot of things. So we're thankful for that. And Abdullah, the guest, just learning about his journey in writing. And I feel like he was very like revealing about that. Like, yeah, it's hard for him too. He like the dialogue, lots of things, he goes back and forth. And just to see a professional at that level struggling with some things that we are, that was really reassuring. So,
yeah.
Oh, okay. I'll go ahead. Yeah, I hadn't. Yeah, so I also lived in Austin. I know I said LA and Atlanta for about 3.5 years. And I was in a writing group there. And I was pretty much the only African-American and definitely the only Muslim. So I think this was a really good experience to see other Muslim people, other women, being paired with a director who's a Black woman who's Muslim. And I just really appreciate the opportunity to not just tell Muslim stories, but make sure all Muslims are represented, you know, South Asian, Arab, African-American, Latin, you know, all Muslims having a voice and having more representation, I think is a really great thing.
It was interesting. I was talking to Farouk last week and I was sharing with him an idea for a short movie that I have that I'm kind of writing. And I was bouncing off an idea with him. And it was so interesting to describe an East Coast, it might even be a Boston thing, about how and maybe it's just the mosque that we go to, but I grew up with this, and that during Eid, the imam would hire a clown to come into the children's room to like this, you know, to play with the kids. And like,
I'm sorry, did I hear that right?
Yeah, exactly. Like, and so
makeup
a cloud. And so like that to me is a normal American Muslim experience. But Farouk was laughing his ass off at like, you know, that, you know, so like, I feel like, you know, that was just kind of represented. We all have so many unique stories that we think are like, we've gone through the same thing, but it's you know, it's so different based on where you are in the country, what your background is, what your ethnicity is, how religious you are. And that's really what we're trying to get across with these shorts, for sure. So I think I would love to know, outside of this, for the three panelists, what is your writing process? Do you write every day? Do you set a clock? One of you said that you don't, you know, set a certain time. Like, I've heard that people, like, you know, especially, I think all of you have other jobs. Like some people are 7 to 8 o'clock in the morning. That's their writing time, and they do it every day, no matter what. I've tried that; it hasn't worked for me. But you know, I'd love to hear how you guys approach writing.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess everybody does it different. But yeah, for me, I just like to, I guess for what it's worth, like incubate or kind of jet and gestate for a while, just sort of like sit with it. And but like, I'm always writing if I'm driving, you know, if I'm tuning out in LA traffic, or if I'm in the shower, like I'm always like thinking. And so then I'll usually just go back and I feel like other people do this too. Like, I'll just get on my iPhone Notes app. And I'll start like filling that out, but like I've completed full scripts in the Notes app, where it's at least all the important dialogue and plot points, I think, are in there. And I just have to sit down and write it. But for me, that's like the best, because like I just have anxiety about staring at the screenwriting app screen. So, but like the Notes app is like a nice stepping stone, where it's like, oh, like it's there, but it's not. I don't have the pressure of staring at the screenwriting app. The Pomodoro. that works for me. And I did a whole feature that way, but that like feature I had been kind of cooking in my brain for like a year, and then I got some time off, so I just sat down and like over 3 days or 3 or 4 days straight I just wrote. But that's just for me. Like, I just need to like live in the script and in the moment and just like write it. I have a hard time going like scene by scene or stepping away, but anyway, maybe it's a weird process, but that works for me.
Halima, do you want to share anything?
Sure. Yeah, I was the one who said that I don't try to schedule it. For me, it just makes it kind of dampens my creativity. Like, I feel like either I'm going to do it or I'm not. And so I don't want to stare at like a little mouse blinking. But yeah, I'll sit down sometimes and write like 40 pages. And then other times no pages. So I'm like, okay, I don't want to force it because, you know, unless I'm being paid to be a writer, then I'll force it. But for me, just creative, just for creatively, I kind of sit with it. Sometimes I wake up and I'm like, oh, okay, I have this idea, and then I'll just go with it. And I think it is better for me. It's more interesting, the story that I come up with, if I just let it ride. So
awesome. Sarwa?
I had a theater teacher in high school who used to say to me that if it's a good idea, like, it'll take 10 days and it'll still stick in your head. Like, it doesn't matter. Because I think one time what had happened was I had written this amazing thing and then I accidentally deleted all of it. I was crying in front of my screen and he was like, it's okay. If it's a good idea, it will stick with you. And so I've kind of just taken that, you know, with me throughout life. My mind wanders a lot. So if I'm in the middle of doing something, I will, like, sometimes the best ideas come to me while I'm at work, like, stabbing, like giving an injection or doing something, and I'll be like, no, now is not the moment. And then I'll do what I have to do, and then I would go into, like, you know, a medication room or something, pull out my iPhone and just, like, open voice memos and just say whatever the idea was. And then if it stuck, by the time I'd get home or something, like, you know, then I'd be able to pour it all out. And sometimes they're not the best ideas, sometimes they're great ideas, but I've always abided by the fact that, like, if it's a good idea, it will stick with me, and I should have faith in the idea because it's great enough for me to stick with it. So
once
I get that moment, I sit down and I write. But again,
that's great.
I have to be fueled by aunties.
Yeah, that seems like an idea right there. Anybody have any questions that they want to ask? I can keep on going, and I love talking to these people. So if anybody has a question, feel free to jump off of mute and ask your question.
I have a question for my co-panelist.
Sure. Yeah, please.
How do you guys feel like your other jobs affect how you write? Like, I work in a very story-based environment, like, you know, patients at their worst, at their, you know, it's cancer, so it's a lot of emotional people. And I see those stories, I absorb them, and then it helps with my writing. And I think the strongest thing that I have going for me is my dialogue. So that's how I know that grounds me a lot. You guys are in, you know, the artistic field, and something that I hear a lot is that people who are in the artistic world don't really get to have other kind of experiences because they're in the arts. How do you guys, in the work that you do, since you're focused in it, find different kinds of experiences and inspiration?
We'll go to Farouk first.
Yeah, no, I agree. Like, I think like, you have to kind of draw from some life experience, or else the script feels thin and the dialogue doesn't ring true. And you can't predict how people react in real life and what characters might say. So I just try to get out and do things, and maybe don't watch too much TV or film. Like, I will, but I guess travel, time with family. I think when I was working in documentaries, I thought that was great because I just had access to so much footage of real people. I mean, I wasn't, like, out on the scenes, but I worked on films about the medical industry or social justice movements, or anyway, but through those people, like, I felt like it was more authentic representations and ways to kind of soak up, like, real life. So anyway, I feel like I can look back at some of my scripts when I was a little younger and I was like, this is really bad. It doesn't feel like real people anyhow. But even now, like, I'm visiting my mom in Texas and we were talking about cooking something and I was like, oh, that's good. And so I'm actually gonna go back and put that in my script, because we would have a little, like, argument about the way to prepare a certain dish that she prepares. Anyway, but it was, like, real, and it was genuine, and it was, like, a generational difference that I mean, even though my script is, like, kind of a family comedy, I was like, that's, like, a nice nugget of authentic that I could stick in there. So
wait, so are you starting a TikTok account? Is that what you're implying?
Yeah, basically, just to, like, show my mom that I can one up the recipe. Yeah,
yeah.
I'm an angsty, yeah.
Halima, did you want to say something?
So, yes. I always fudge. Like, when I was in LA, I never wanted to tell people about my education because it's a double-edged thing. Like, I have a law degree. I'm a lawyer.
And whenever I tell people that, they're like, well, why don't you practice law? Why don't you do this? And I'm like, because I don't want to. And they're like, well, why don't you do entertainment law? I'm like, that's not the same thing. Anyway, but yes, I have practiced law a little bit and I didn't want to, but that's a whole nother thing. But when I was in law school, I remember I started writing a script, which I've completed. It's a feature film about a woman who's attacked in her home, like a home invasion. And basically the guy gets arrested, but she doesn't press charges because she wants him out so that she can set him up and kill him in self-defense. So that came to me when I was in criminal law class. And the whole thing is that self-defense, there has to be an immediate, imminent danger to you. So that's the whole premise of it. So yeah, that was just that one story. But besides that, I just love TV and films. Most of my stories have, you know, nothing really to do with the law. So when I have that, you know, people are always like, well, you have something to fall back on. I do some legal work, like document review, remote work and stuff still to pay the bills. So
we actually, one of the directors for one of the other shorts is a lawyer, a trained lawyer as well, who now is a director. And so we have two lawyers on this. That's really interesting.
Very cool. Yeah.
We are going to take a quick break. We'll come back with more of American Muslim Project. Stay tuned. Welcome back to American Muslim Project. We're going to continue our conversation with winning Muslim playwrights.
I guess, you know, what advice do you give to people on the call that are writers or aspiring writers or, you know, want to write Muslim stories or Muslim characters? Any advice that you'd have? And I'm going to go back to Sarwat to begin with on that.
I had a teacher who also said something amazing to me once, which was, write what you know, because you know it better than anybody else. And so that is a approach I often take when it comes to, like, I'm working on two other things right now. And the reason I'm working on them is because I have epilepsy, I'm disabled, I'm South Asian. And I don't see, like, I don't have a single character that I can think of at the top of my head who looks like me and shares those aspects of my identity amongst others, you know? So I personally feel like I'm the best person. I'm one of the best people, not to put myself on a platter, but I'm the only person I know that can write, you know, these kinds of stories. And therefore that motivates me to write these kinds of stories. And so I always suggest that if you have an experience that, you know, is unique to you, or you feel like there's something that you're going through and other people would relate to it and you just don't feel like it exists, then write it. You know, another thing I can say is, as an oncology nurse, you know, visiting hours are from like 12 to 7, right? And then the rest of the time that, you know, these patients are sitting there, the only thing that they really have is their phones and their, you know, iPads and whatever. TV is so impactful because it's particularly with patients who are on chemo, you know, it's like the eyes hurt and it's too much work and stuff. So I'll be passing my rooms like when the FIFA was happening. Oh, my God, the floor felt like a whole different vibe. And when like certain shows, patients will come across certain shows and they'll like feel so much better about the situation that they're in because the character has said something that resonates with them, right? And so art has this giant power to be able to touch people on such an intimate level, whether it's just one scene. And so that's why I encourage people of like any kind of background. You know, a lot of people are so scared to write, but if you have an experience that is unique to you and that you feel like needs to be shared, like you have no idea how far when you work hard and push it, how much it can impact just anybody. So that's what you should write. Yep.
Well, amazing. Farouk, you want to go next?
Yeah, no, that was really captured. But thank you for saying that. Also your experience on the oncology ward sounds extremely interesting and touching. But I'll just kind of add on that then, and pass along some advice other people have given me. You know, because I think maybe we, as artists where we're applying for grants and labs and other ways to continue to develop our career. And somebody told me, you know, like, don't, and hopefully it holds true, but they're like, don't try to write to the requirements of the lab or whatever. Still write what feels true to you. Cause like, I think if you're trying to write to like what you think they want, you're just going to end up with something that's sort of like watered down and not really you, but yeah, that person who was mentoring me, it was just like, keep it specific, keep it you. You know, if it fits the opportunity, if it fits the organization, like it'll work. But if it's not a fit, you know, you go elsewhere with your voice and your work. Yeah, that same person also told me not to be afraid to be like vulnerable about this little thing that maybe like bubbling up that you want to express. But like, I mean, my script, it's sort of a comedy about Brioni and social media. But when I was working with Genevieve, I was trying, kind of talking through what we were trying to do with it. And she was like, I sense you have like some dad issues. And I was like, whoa. But anyway, so yeah, she was like, don't be afraid to underline that. Cause like, there's short comedic exchanges with the kid and his dad in the script, but there's more, she's like, there's more to it there. And she's like, maybe you can lean into that. Anyhow. So I'm glad she said that. And all I'd say is like, I think the specific vulnerable voice of your experience, I think we might be surprised who it resonates with and how it resonates, even if it feels like it's like your small little corner of the world. So I try to hold on to that.
That's amazing. I love that story. That's awesome. Halima?
Yeah, for sure. I would say, lastly, what Sara was saying, as far as like how important art is in television and film. And I know a lot of Muslim people kind of dissuade their kids or discourage them from being performers or anything like that. And there's such an emphasis on being a doctor or an engineer or a lawyer or a teacher, all those things, which all my siblings are. but for me, like literally when I was a kid, I felt so different from everybody, so isolated. And I feel like TV gave me a way of seeing things that were different, something beyond myself. And literally like stories that you see can impact people. It can change people's lives. It can save people's lives. So I think people shouldn't devalue what you can do for someone by getting into television and film, acting, writing, producing, anything. And if you don't know where to start, then find somebody who's doing it. I'm very grateful to you and Rochelion and ISF, because when I got that email, I was so excited. And I would be happy to lend my voice or help anybody who's like starting out. They want to collaborate or, you know, bounce ideas, because for me, it's all about, you know, when they say a rising tide lifts all boats. So I think that's my take on it.
Yeah. That,
I do feel obliged to add one thing, though. I feel like we're always pressed on this kind of timeline. Like, I started out in theater, and so a lot of the people that I went to school with, I went to an arts academy, they're all like, you know, doing amazing things. And I love science, so I wanted to pursue science first, and then I wanted to go do, you know, writing later. Like, I still wrote while I was in nursing school, but I knew it was a thing I wanted to carry on later. And a lot of the times through school, I kept on feeling like, this person, she's on a TV show now. This person is doing this thing. Like, I'm going to be too old by the time that it's like, you know, done. And writing is always going to be there. If you have another passion, if it takes 10 years, like, it's completely fine to not measure yourself on other people's timeline, measure yourself on your own timeline. That's my spiel. Cause I often wish that my younger self, like, I had heard it a lot, but I wish I believed it a lot more. So that's why I like to always tell people, don't care about other people's timeline. Run on your own.
Totally. I think that's great advice.
That's going to do it for this week's episode of American Muslim Project. Definitely, if you are interested in learning more about our film, please go to our website, www.ramadanamerica.com. As a reminder, the film will be released in March of this year. We are producing it now, and the content and the images are just amazing. Really looking forward to it. Anyway, thanks again for listening. I want to thank producer Ari, and we'll see you all next week. Thanks.